Welcome to Kingdom Connection with Pastor Jensen Franklin. For many people, Jerusalem is the most consequential and important city on the planet. It's there that the three major world religions collide and coexist. It's the very heart of the home of God's chosen people. And it's home to the resurrection of Jesus, the event in which all of Christendom finds its power and relevance. Today, Pastor Franklin talks with Mike Evans, founder of the Friends of Zion, who works in Jerusalem to house and feed many who escaped the Holocaust. And you'll hear more about an opportunity to partner in this exciting work with eternal implications. Now, here's Pastor Franklin.
Hello and welcome to Kingdom Connection. Welcome to the wonderful, beautiful city of Jerusalem, where Jesus died, where He rose again, where He's coming back again. And I'm so glad you're joining me for a very, very special telecast. I am delighted today to have with me the founder of Friends of Zion, an amazing organization that we have partnered with and are doing some really beautiful things. But Dr. Mike Evans, what an honor to have you today.
Oh, Jensen, thank you, and thank Kingdom Connection for all they're doing here right now.
You know, one of the best things that God did last year was kind of connect us back together. We've been friends for a long time.
Yeah, He did.
But to be honest, I'm just going to be honest, I had no comprehension of how God was using you and your organization. And I'm so encouraged. I believe it's prophetic. I believe what God is doing is on time. And Friends of Zion and what we're doing together is just touching this nation for the glory of God.
It truly is.
Well, how did you get in, and people may be watching wondering, well, where are you? We're in a construction site. There are people all around us. We literally had to stop a guy who had a jackhammer a few minutes ago who was working. We're on the property here of Friends of Zion Heritage Center, where as I'm speaking, apartments for Holocaust survivors are being built, and an amazing dining hall, feeding center. Over 3,000 Holocaust survivors are fed a week through this ministry.
Yeah, it's true. And we're doing everything humanly possible to bless them. And heaven and earth met here and is going to meet here again. Mm. You know, you talk about back in the Old Testament how that they wanted to go where the glory was and where the Shekinah is. Well, we're here where the glory is and where the Shekinah is.
Yeah, just 600 meters away from the Temple Mount.
Yes.
And what a location. How did this come about? How in the world? This is a massive, it's about a city block.
It is.
That we're partnering with you on to minister to so many people who desperately need the love and grace of God. You know, to get to feed, to get to clothe, to get to house Holocaust survivors is a precious thing to me.
Yeah. Jensen, my mother was an Orthodox Jew, and my mother hated Christians. She hated Christians because she married one, a professing Christian, my father. They called him Brother Bob. He went to church every Sunday. He had a big Thompson chain Bible. But Brother Bob was at the Twilight Cafe every Friday night drunk. He'd got stone drunk, and there's only two kinds of drunks. There's sweet drunks and angry drunks. My father was an angry drunk.
Wow.
He'd come home 1 to 2 in the morning every Friday night, and it was actually Saturday morning, sit my mother down in a chair and call her a Jewish whore and slap her in the face and abuse her. She wore sunglasses a lot because of black eyes from my father. Mm. So that's, you know, this Jewish mother, I was watching cartoons at 4 and Billy Graham came on. She shut it off. She said, "Don't ever watch that again. Christians hate Jews. Christians kill Jews. Jesus died. Don't dig him up. The Pope, Billy Graham, and Adolf Hitler are all Christians."
Wow.
She never met a real Christian, Jensen. A loving, kind, compassionate Christian like your partners. She never met him.
Mm. And so out of that, God began to work a part of your destiny. Keep talking. Well, your story is so moving. I feel like, Mike, that so many people need to hear it. And I want you to just kind of walk us through how you ended up in the ministry.
I ran away from the home first time at the age of 4 because my I heard my father screaming at my mother, calling her a whore, and I didn't understand it, but I knew it had something to do with me. And my father began abusing me. He used to take extension cords, and he'd strip me naked and beat me with those extension cords. One day, I found the jackknife in the snow, and I came home. I was so proud of myself. And he said, "You're a liar. God hates liars. If I have to beat you to death, you will tell me the truth how you stole this jackknife." He tucked me down in the basement and stripped me naked and took an extension cord, grabbed one of my arms, and started beating me with that extension cord. And I went completely hysterical. And he kept beating me and beating me and beating me. I had to try to come up with a lie to convince him so he'd stop. He ended up throwing me in a canning cellar, dirt cellar, absolutely hysterical, had wet all over myself. Well, my father never called me son. He never said he loved me. He never affirmed me. He only called me curse words. He did not believe I was his son. And the abuse continued and got worse and worse. My goal was to be alive at 20. Now, you minister to broken people and hurting people, and I'm sure everyone that's watching has gone through some rejection in their life and pain. What happens to kids like me? They end up drug addicts or alcoholics, maybe even like their own father, or murderers.
Right.
There was no hope for my life. I did not believe in God or Jesus. The only Jesus I knew was my father, and he was a pretending Christian. He wasn't a real one. So at the age of 11 in school, they asked the children, "What do you want to be when you grow up?" I was so afraid of the question because I knew I only wanted
to... So they're just going around the room asking kids what one would say, a fireman, a policeman.
Yeah. And I sat by the red bell hoping they wouldn't get to me. And I stuttered. I couldn't look a man in the eye. I walked with my head down. I had hundreds of fears. I was afraid of the dark, of people, of heights, of death, everything I was afraid of. And they got to me and I stuttered and I said, 20. I wanted to be 20. Everybody in the class laughed. They didn't know why I said that. They had come to my home twice because they saw the welts on my back and my legs from the gym class. And I had to lie. I couldn't tell them it was my father. That Friday night, my father was beating up my mother, the bottom of the stairs. And when I saw him beating her up, I had never defended her. I was terrified of my father. But I couldn't stand it, seeing her being hit. "You are a whore. That's not my son." And I cried out, "Stop it." The moment I cried out, "Stop it," he ran up the stairs and picked me up by my throat way above his head, and he strangled me. As I looked in those bloodshot eyes, I knew I would never live to be 20. I knew I was dead. It was over. My life had just ended. I went unconscious. I woke up in a fetal position in the dark. I'd vomited all over myself. And when I woke up, I was angry that I was alive. I screamed out in the dark to a God I didn't believe in. "Why was I born? This man hates me. My mother's being abused because of me," I thought. "I should have never been born." And when I screamed it out in my pain in the dark, all of a sudden, I saw a light. And the light scared me. I thought it was my father. I thought he came back with a spotlight to finish me off. So I threw my hands over my face to protect my face. And when I did, it was quiet, silent and quiet. He was never quiet. He was always screaming and cursing. So I peeked through my fingers. And when I did, I saw two nail-scarred hands coming at me.
Wow.
The scars, Jensen, were not here. They're way up high here. And I saw the scars coming at me. And then I saw smiling eyes. I saw every color in the rainbow in the eyes of Jesus. They were like magnets. When you looked at them, they drew you in and you couldn't take your eyes off the eyes. And as I'm looking at those smiling eyes, he spoke. Now, I didn't tell a soul the story for 20 years because I was sure people would think I was crazy. Even didn't tell my wife when we got married for many years. And he spoke and he said, "Son." I'd never heard the word son.
Wow.
Then he said, "I love you."
You never heard your father call you son?
No, he didn't believe I was his son.
Wow.
My mother had been so abused, she didn't even call me son, even though I was. Then he said, I love you. I'd never heard of the word I love you. Mm. It was the first time I ever heard the word I love you. It was when Jesus spoke it. Then he said, I have a great plan for your life.
Did you instantly know it was Jesus?
Oh, yes. Oh, yes. The Jesus I didn't believe in. The Jesus that I despised.
And you weren't taught a lot about him either.
No.
Yeah.
No. But my father.
Right.
I didn't believe he existed. But there he was in the room. Son, I love you and have a great plan for your life. And he left. The rest of the night, I cried with joy. And I knew in my heart, Jensen, that night I was delivered. I didn't know what deliverance was. Of all my fears, I was saved. I was healed. I was called. I knew I could defend one Jew against a Jew hater, and that God was giving me a nation of Jews to defend. I knew.
Wait, so
I was
you
born.
That's a powerful statement. You said that you had tried to defend your mother, who was a Jew.
Yeah.
From a Jew hater.
Yeah.
Your father.
Yeah.
And you couldn't do that.
No.
But out of that most dark, painful situation, a ministry is birthed.
Yes. God takes the broken things of the world to confound the wise.
And so how did you put that together? So you felt like you failed at defending your mother, but now when you realize the impact that the ministry has had on so many people,
well,
and
first,
on defending this nation.
Yeah. First, I never had been affirmed. Now I've been affirmed by the Lord.
Yeah.
And it was like, I'm proud of you. You're my son. I'm proud of you. I felt affirmation from the Lord, and I wanted more of it. And I realized my life assignment, why I was born, was to defend the Jewish people. And that's what birthed this whole ministry, is I said, I'm called and birthed to defend the Jewish people.
Wow.
And
so how did that start? You've been here in Israel how long?
More than 40 years.
40 years.
More than 40 years.
And you came with nothing, right? I mean,
I came telling the first Prime Minister, Begin, that God sent me. He said, why? I said, I don't know. But he sent me. He said, you don't know? When God tells you why, come back and tell me. Well, I know why. And God sent me to comfort ye my people. And that's all we're doing. That's my burden, my vision, my call.
You have had, you've built a museum called Friends of Zion Museum.
Right.
Why? What is it about?
Well, remember my mother. My mother did not believe that Christians were real. She thought they were evil people. Most of the people who killed the Jews were professing Christians.
That's right.
Not real ones, fake Christians.
This is what so many people don't understand.
Yeah.
When the Jewish people, you know, when they hear Hitler, they tie that to Christianity.
Yeah. You know, in the state of Israel, there's a narrative that goes like this. The Christians persecuted us. The Christians killed us. We escaped from the Christians. We built the nation of Israel. Let's eat. Wait a second. No way. I'm a real Christian. I'm a believer. I never persecuted Jews. I bless Jewish people.
Right.
And I wanted the Jewish people to know that there were real Christians. The Bible says, you shall be a witness unto me in Jerusalem.
Mm.
Kingdom Connection is a witness
first
unto him in Jerusalem.
Then Judea.
Right.
Then the uttermost parts.
And
of
Judea
Samaria.
And Samaria. We're a witness unto him.
And then the uttermost parts.
We are fulfilling that amazing promise.
How did we miss that? That we are to love and to stand and to bless the nation of Israel first, and then go from nation to nation, then go into all the world. But first, let's do something in Jerusalem.
I think people, because they don't live here, they got disconnected.
Right.
Heaven and earth met here. Everything that the glue that holds our faith together is right here in Jerusalem. The resurrection of our Lord, everything of significance is right here.
That's right.
Well, this is the holy ground. This is where the favor of God is. God has dreamed this dream.
And this complex that we are in and our friends and partners have been such a major part of. It is the second largest property.
Private property.
In Jerusalem.
Yes.
I mean, it looks like a city block, going up four stories with these apartments and ministering to these Holocaust survivors. It's amazing.
It's a 100-year plan. It's a 100-year plan.
I love that.
Yeah. Because,
but Mike, you're not going to live to be 100 years. You're not going to be alive 100 years from now here.
I'm going to be alive.
Are you?
1,000 years from now because of the resurrection.
See, that was a setup.
Yeah.
But I love that. I heard you say that the other day, that God gave you with this project a 100-year plan.
That's what he told me.
And what does that mean?
Well,
listen to this.
If you think about the fact, 100 years from now, who's going to be here? The Jews are going to be here. Jerusalem's going to be here. Everything prophetic goes to Jerusalem. Everything. All the prophecies go to Jerusalem. So God's plan, his script, his narrative, all roads lead to Jerusalem. Mm. He has dreams that he hasn't finished yet.
Wow.
And so now I find what God is blessing, and I say, God, I'm dreaming your dreams. Jensen, the key to happiness is committing your life to a cause greater than yourself. I'm not a depressed person. I'm a happy person because I'm consumed with a dream that God has dreamed.
Yeah,
and
obviously.
We're seeing it come to pass. We've had more than 100 world leaders come through Friends of Zion Heritage Center, 53 ambassadors.
Today, when we were filming this earlier, we had just a group of Israeli defense soldiers.
Every day.
Thousands and thousands of soldiers going through, finding, imagine this, that Christians love Israel, that Christians are friends of Israel, that Christians have laid down their life, lost their fortunes throughout history to stand throughout the Holocaust and beyond and before and after.
Yes.
There are true friends of Zion.
Yes. They say when they come through Friends of Zion, we're not alone, because they thought they were alone. Then they say, we have hope.
Right.
Then I watch them weeping and saying goosebumps, because they don't use the term anointing. They don't know what it is. They say goosebumps, where I'm not alone. I have hope, goosebumps, friends. Right.
It's an amazing experience to see firsthand what God is doing here, and it's been so humbling. You've got to finish your story. So you have this desire to defend
the Jewish people.
The Jewish people. And what has God done in your family? Your son Michael is, boy, he's a prince.
And my father told
your beautiful wife Carol.
Yeah.
I tell you, God has blessed your family. You wouldn't know you came from such a dysfunctional family.
48 years happily married to my best friend. My father told me that he hated his grandfather. He hated his father. He said they were drunks. They were abusive human beings. And he said he keeps dreaming about black stones. But he said, when I see you, you have white stones in your hand. What does it mean? I said, Dad, the black stones are generation curses. The white stones are generation blessings. My father died on a Friday. The next Friday, Michael David Evans III, my grandson, was born. So, you know, when you have the favor of God, when you have the blessings of God, you don't live in the past. You don't live what you're going through. You focus on what you're going to.
Wow.
And I know what I'm going to. I'm dreaming his dream.
Folks, all I can tell you is God is doing something powerful. And find what God is blessing and bless it. Get involved in it. Say, I want to be a part of that. We, as I am speaking to you, we're in a construction site. And we stopped the workers and took them off the job for a few moments so that we could talk to you. There is an ongoing project that is taking place here. And so many of you, I mean many of you, said, I want to be a part of that. And we've already got that project going and up and going, and in many cases over in another complex completed. But we're in Jerusalem now, and there's much, much more work to be done. I'm so excited about building that celebration dining center where we're going to feed and clothe and celebrate.
Yeah.
The Holocaust survivors will celebrate with their families, like they'll have somewhere to bring their family when they come to Jerusalem and celebrate the feast.
Remember the old song, Come and Dine, the Master calleth, come and dine.
Come on.
Listen, Jensen, the only banquet hall in the city of Jerusalem for Holocaust survivors is what Kingdom Connection is going to be building here in Jerusalem.
My goodness.
And they'll be coming, no charge.
Yeah.
No charge.
That's it.
We're blessed. They'll celebrate the Passover. They'll celebrate bar mitzvahs.
We'll feed them there.
We'll feed them there, absolutely.
Clothe them and help them and bless them and their families.
And you saw them thanking you. You saw them thanking you today.
It was so moving, Mike. I never dreamed that I would even ever meet a Holocaust survivor. You know, it's so rare.
Yeah.
And to sit today like I did and talk, and man, they hugged me. They loved me. They were so sweet, and they speak broken English, many of them, even though, you know, they could hear just enough to say, thank you, we love you, thank you. And it was so touching. It was so moving. And I want to say to all of you who are watching this program, with all the sincerity that I know how to say, if you will bless this project, there is a blessing coming on your house and on your family. You just heard a man talk about the dysfunction and pain and sorrow in his family. I love what Mike said about the fears. I really felt that. He said, I was so paralyzed and bound with fear, and God set him free. And there are many of you watching me right now, and your family, the enemy may have said, is so messed up. There's no way God can ever fix your family. I'm going to tell you something. What he said is true. When you get the focus off of you and you say, you know what? I'm going to make a miracle happen for those Holocaust survivors right there in the city of Jerusalem. If you will do this today, I'm believing for 1,000 people watching this program. I'm very bold to do this. I'm not asking for myself, won't receive a penny. I'm asking, I believe, for the very heart of God. When Jesus, our Savior, said in Matthew 25, as you do it unto the least of these, you do it unto me. And I'm sorry, I'm getting emotional, but I'm in Jerusalem. I'm in the holy city, and I get to be a part of a miracle, and you do too. And I'm asking you today to go to the phone and say, I need a miracle in my home. I need a miracle in my family. And if God can do that for Mike Evans, and if God can stop the curse from being passed from generation to generation and start that white stone of blessing. You know, that white stone is in the book of Revelation, chapter 3. Ooh. He said, to him that overcomes, I'll give a white stone. And that's a generational blessing. And I'm saying to you today, and I know many of you are hearing the voice of God right now in your spirit, not audibly, but in your spirit. As you sow today a special seed, we're going to pray. I'm going to ask Mike to close this program by blessing families. Are you ready for a miracle to come this year to your family? Are you ready for God to do what only He can do? He can restore. He can renew. He can make all things new. You can't, some things happen and it changes everything, but we serve a God who makes all things new. He can begin again in your family, a mighty act of grace. We're running out of time, but Mike, would you pray for families? I tell you what, I want you to stretch your hand toward that camera and pray for restoration for families.
If God could take me and all of my brokenness.
Praise God. Hallelujah.
And heal me, restore
me,
and call
me. Thank you, Jesus.
And bless me. He can do it for you.
Yes.
He can do it for you. I'm praying that the generation curses that have tormented you would be broke from Jerusalem.
Jesus,
I'm praying the fears that have tormented you and me would be broke from Jerusalem.
In Jesus' name.
I'm praying the hopelessness would be broke from Jerusalem.
Praise
I'm
God.
I'm praying the spirit of poverty would be broke from Jerusalem.
Do it, Lord.
And I'm praying that as you worship God with your gift,
yes,
that it'll become a holy scent in the nostrils of God. And you will move the hand of God and turn the head of God.
Yes.
And have the favor of God. I have the favor of God. And
that's right.
You can too. And I'm believing for that in the name of Jesus.
In Jesus' name. Boy, I feel that today. I feel that today. Curses are being broken. Blessings are being released. Help is on the way. go to the phone right now and say, you know, I want to sow a sacrificial seed. And you know, some of you can't do that. Look, you do what you can do. You do what you can do, and God will do what you can't do. And today, as you watch this program, I want to say thank you from the bottom of my heart for helping us be a part of a miracle. And in return, I'm in agreement for your miracle in your house.
God is calling Kingdom Connection to expand our reach, and we are ready to answer that call. Together, we can take Kingdom Connection to major metropolitan communities across the United States on networks such as ABC, NBC, CBS, and Fox. We already reach around the world through Christian television networks, but we are ready to take the hope and message of Jesus to the lost and hurting people in the cities where they live. With your gift this month, you will join Kingdom Connection in sharing the gospel with an even greater reach. When you give a gift of $40 or more, you can request Jensen Franklin's new 3-CD series, The Exchange 2.0. This teaching series will encourage you to release what's in your hand to experience the blessings of the exchange. To learn more, call us or visit jensenfranklin.tv. You can also follow Pastor Franklin on Insta or Twitter at Jensen or on Facebook at @JensenFranklin. Hope starts with you. Together, we can do something incredible for the kingdom of God.